Today's daf is daf Tzadik Gimel, and we're holding at the second line, Toshma. We're in the middle of a machlokas that began after we talked about the things in the Mishnah that made us think about the question of whether Lamaisa we should follow a rov or not in determining whether something is a Mekach Tom. So do we buy something, or is it assumed that since most people act in a particular way, and that's as if it defined the nature of the sale, which is what Rav holds, but to make a ta'ut. His particular case, which obviously relates to the Mishnah, which we haven't gotten to yet, but his particular case was the sale of a shor, which turned out to be uncontrollable and therefore useless for plowing, but perfectly good for eating. And there we had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, which seems to relate directly to the Mishnah about the sale of seeds, which could be used for eating or for planting. Obviously, that's why we brought it up, because that's where we're going to get to. So Shmuel said we don't take a look at a rov when it comes to momon. We start with a flat playing field, no matter what the rov is, and therefore it's assumed that the sale is just whatever it is until somebody says otherwise. Rav says the norms define the understanding, and the norms being defined by a rov. Today, the Gemara wants to continue to see whether we can bring a raya to either Rav or Shmuel. So we're up to Toshma. This time we're going to try to bring a raya from a braita. We were deicha, the raya that we brought so far from the sugya of a betula niseit, the question whether she was a betula or not by saying that there's a reyeta in the rov. And we were docha, the raya that we brought from the sale of an eved who turns out to be dangerous and probably going to get himself killed from the early part of the braita, which was talking about a ganev. We said that that's not a rov, that's every eved is like that. So we're up to now toshma. Sharshin agachet apara, famous Mishnah, a shor gores a para, that everybody has seen. We know that that's the case. The problem over here is we didn't get a good enough look. We run up to see the damage, and not only is the para dead, but her fetus, that apparently had miscarried, is there dead to her side. Nimtza ubra b'tzida. Now we have no way of proving. Ene yadua imat shelo nigacha yalada, or imish nigacha yalada. We have no way of knowing whether this miscarriage took place as a result of the attack of the shor, or whether it took place only before, and it happens to be. You know, it looks like it's all part of the same thing, but it's not. She had actually perhaps given birth before, miscarried before. So the halakha over there is that as far as the para is concerned, because it's a short tam, so it's a b'shalim chatzi nezek lepara. So the para itself, you pay the typical chatzi nezek for a tam. But the vlad, which we have no way of knowing, so that when it comes to the vlad, we have mamona mutal b'safek. Mamona mutal b'safek, you'll remember, very often we seem to pass like sumchas, we take for granted. Mamona mutal b'safek chokin. Since there's no way for us to get this information, clearly something has happened. So sumchas says, look, and in that case, split it. What do we split? We split the half that you would have paid. So you're left with paying a revi'a nezek for the vlad. Now, the question is, according to Rav, am I lema halecha harov parot? I mean, if he says that you can rely on establishing the dinim for dinim mamonut by a rov, so certainly rov parot carried a term, right? So rov parot or mitabrot v'yoldot. So if rov parot were carried to term, then that means that what we witnessed was an attack on a para that was pregnant and that lost its child besides losing its life, so or damage, whatever the case may be. So in which case, we would have to assume that havadei machmat negicha hipila. We need to assume that what we're looking at is the case of an attack on a pregnant cow. Says the Gemara, no, that's a special case. Because an attack can cause a spontaneous abortion out of fear before the para is actually touched. And therefore, even if we assume, as Rav does, that certainly the para was pregnant at the time that it was attacked by that shor, the question is whether the miscarriage might have occurred before the physical attack. If the miscarriage occurs before the physical attack, then it's a psychological attack, so to speak. It's out of fear that it loses the fetus. And then there's no chiyav. There's no chiyav on a bala shor for causing the groma a miscarriage because of fear. So therefore, we don't know misafkalan. You see, ikalamema mikama ata. It could be that this shor approached the cow within its field of vision. And therefore, as it saw the shor coming, looking quite threatening, mibi ituta ipila, it was terrified, and it lost the vlad. Or, Ikalamema Miachora, it could be that it was a sudden attack outside of the field of vision, it was coming from behind, Umingach Narkavi Pila, and caused the miscarriage directly by goring, and that, of course, you would be chayavon. But again, we don't know, and we have no way of knowing, even assuming that the rove is correct and that it would be carrying till term. That doesn't prove that this is a case of chiyuv. Therefore, again, we're stuck with Mamana Mutu Basafik, Chokin, and Rav says, I agree in this case too. There's no question. But everybody agrees with me that, of course, it's not a Mamana Mutu Basafik because we're not taking for granted that it was pregnant. It was pregnant. That, for sure. Nonetheless, that doesn't tell us how much I got to pay. So we don't have a raya from here. Says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. We do seem to have a raya from a Machloket Tanaim, that indeed Rav and Shmuel line up with Shitot that we're about to see. The case over there is, Shor, Shayah Ruga. A Shor is grazing, and Nimtashar Harug Bitsido, he's placidly grazing like some of the modern day murderers. There's a dead Shor at his side, and he doesn't seem, couldn't care less. And I know, this looks very suspicious. Afalpi Shezeh Minugach, Vezeh Muad Ligach. Even though we see clear impact of horns on the dead shor, it was clearly subject to an attack by some shor, and the shor that was next to it is known to be a kind of shor that attacks. What are you supposed to do? Does it prove anything? Or you see that it's bitten, the dead shor. It's got its throat torn out. And the shor that's placidly grazing is a Muadli shor. To say, well, I mean, it all adds up, doesn't it? No. I mean, how can you say it's clear? It's circumstantial evidence, basically. You can't collect money based on that. Rabbi Acha Merlach says, well, now, it's not 100% clear, is it? I mean, let's say we would have a case of a gamal that is ocher ben agmalim. Gamalim copulate rear to rear, says the Gemara. So we call their copulation ichur, or rears. So, but anyway, they go into this wild running period, so that they're certainly ready to take on all comers and bite them to death. So, and now we know that there was a gamal that was in rut, and nimtze gamal arug b'tzido. I would say, said Rabbi Acha, that b'yadua shezeh harago. I mean, that's a given. Now, obviously, we're not talking about rove in this case. It's not a question of rove. I mean, what we're talking about is a chazaka. It has been established that camels in rut are murderers. It has been established that this particular shor has a chazaka to do things. But if we assume, and which is what we assumed at the beginning of this raya, so ruah deruba v'chazaka ki adarinino, but it boils down to the same thing. The statistical likelihood is equivalent to the particular likelihood of an individual event where that organism has been shown to have a certain pattern. So, I mean, it boils down to the same kind of issue. I mean, obviously, there is a very serious difference in that rove being only statistical. There has no direct application to this particular individual. So whenever you use statistics to talk about a particular, you're always treading some dangerous territory. Mashenka the Chazaka really does define what's happening with the shor. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. But initially, we're assuming that it boils down to the same type of raya, which is the likelihood that. Well, the likelihood that is, again, a matter of probability. So it boils down to rove. So it should both be basically the same. And if that's the case, then Rav would be saying what Rav Acha was saying, that, well, since it's you go according to the rove, and we have over here a camel in rut, then you got to pay. Whereas Shmuel, who says, look, we're talking about Dine Mominus. You can't follow a rove when it comes to Dine Mominus. So Shmuel apparently holds like the Tanakhama. You can't bring proof. Omelech Rav says, no, this is what Rav would have said. No, this has nothing to do with my Shita. On the other hand, I feel the Tanakhama. I, of course, am completely consistent with the Tanakhama. Because at kan lo ka'ama Tanakhama atamad at the lo azin batar chazaka. What did he say? He said, you can't follow a chazoka. Okay, that's a completely different thing. But, I mean, who's to say that he wouldn't follow a rove? I would say, bota ruba azlinan. Because when you're talking about a chazaka, you're talking about a limited sample. When you're talking about a rove, you're talking about a massive sample. So doesn't it make more sense, even if you assume that the underlying idea is a statistical idea, a statistical idea that you're learning out of one sample's behavior is very weak. So, Enoch Inami, if there would have been a rove, I say that the Tanakhama would have agreed with me. Shmuel Amalaka, where Shmuel says, Ane Amir Filu Rabach, on the contrary, I think everybody agrees with me. Now, as you've all seen, of course, the Tanakhama agrees with me. Question is whether Rabacha is arguing. There's no reason to assume Rabacha is arguing either. Because Adkan lo kama Rabacha sabatat zlinam batar chazaka. All that Rabacha said is this case where a camel in rut has a chazaka that it's vicious. No. And that's, of course, over there, the prediction is about its own hormonal state, not a general statement. This animal has been seen to be in rut. So obviously it's not a normally behaving animal. It's not a statistical issue. It's a chazaka issue about this camel. Masha Inken, where do you see that we would have assumed that just because Rav Acha follows the chazaka, which makes sense about a particular, that he would follow a rove, which may or may not apply to this particular? So that we never saw. But Bataruba, Bataraba Lawazlin, and I say he would agree with me 100%. That in the case that we're talking about the purchasing of the shahr, there's no reason to think that Rav Acha would disagree. So here, too, all boils down to the relationship of Rov and Chazaka, and therefore there's no reason for us to say that we have a machloket tanoi. Toshma, let's take a look at yet another raya. Hamocher peirot lechaveiro, vizar'an velo tzamchu. At last we get to the main topic, which is the Mishnah. So here it says, if you sold peirot, he plants them, and nothing happens. And even if we're talking about Zera Pishta, which certainly is a rove, people will plant Pishta, Eino Chayav Bachrayutan. There's no responsibility on the part of the seller. Now, when you say Afilu, what do you mean? Even. In other words, my Afilu Zera Pishta, which we're all ready to agree that certainly 90%, if not more, of Pishta in the world is replanted. I mean, how much fish done do you need for the toppings of your salads? Flaxseed, very popular nowadays. But, I mean, it certainly doesn't take the place of the seeds for planting. And nonetheless, what the Mishnah is saying is, even though there's a rove that would be planting it, you still can't get your money back. Which is exactly the same case as Rav and Shmuel's case. You're telling me most people would be buying a shahr for plowing. No. Says Shmuel, big deal. Most people would be buying flax for planting. The Mishnah doesn't think that that's a good enough reason to get your money back. So why in the world should Rav try to tell me that you can get your money back because of the rove? Says the Gemara, you're right. The Mishnah is indeed against Rav. But nonetheless, there's a machloket tanoim about it. And Rav has got people lining up on his side also. Where do we see that? The Tanya, take a look at this bright. Hamocher perot l'chaveiro v'zar'an. Somebody sells peron. This is an expansion of our Mishnah. He plants them and nothing grows. So if we're talking about zeronegina, so then you're chayav. If it's zera pishtan, then eno chayav bachrayutan. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, well, no, that's not true. No teno de mezera, the pishtan, since rove pishtan is planted, you don't need that it's inedible, you just need that it's mostly for planting. So that means we would follow the rove, and you can even recoup the money that you paid for your zera pishtan, and the guy can't say, I thought you were using it for the salad dressing that you were making. You didn't say anything. You can't say that. So now, apparently, so they said to Rabbi Yossi, now wait a minute. What do you mean? Many people will buy pishtan for all kinds of things. Pishtan is used for medication. It might be used for sandblasting particles. I don't know, you've got a lot of usages. So why do you think that it's dafka for you being used for planting? And that's what he meant to buy it for. Now, when you say there's tannoi, we're going to clarify what this third opinion holds here in a moment. You say there's a tannoi. I just want to understand, who is the tannoi? I mean, I hope you don't mean Rabbi Yossi and this third Tana that we said Omrulo, whoever he is. Because that's not true. The Omrulo, if you look carefully at what the Omrulo is saying, he's not arguing about Rabbi Yossi's initial assumption. We would go bust a rove. You're right. Except, I don't see a rove. He's saying there is a rov, but that's the rov of the Zerapishta. You're right. 99% of Zerapishta in the world is, in fact, used for planting. Now, let me ask you another question. Would you say that 99% of people walking into a store to buy Pishtan are buying Pishtan for planting? Absolutely not. 99% of people coming into a store, even the farmer who buys Pishtan for planting, is going to walk into a store one day and buy Pishtan for his salad. Or he's going to buy Pishtan for medication or whatever. So if you look at most sales, so then why would you have a right to say that? You are looking at most usage, but why look at most usage? Why not look at most purchasers? That's the only machlokas between Reb Yossi and the Omer Lo. But certainly that can't be the machlokas Tanoim that you're referring to, that Shmuel would hold like who? Nobody holds like Shmuel. Nobody says that you don't follow a rov but the name Mamunis. It's just a different rov. Mar Ozio Bataru but the Inchi. So one is following most buyers, Umar Ozio Bataru but the Zriya. So that's a question, how do we look at this? Do we look at the determination of the nature of the sale, or do we look at the determination of the nature of the merchandise? Okay, that's a very important machlokas, but it certainly is not a machlokas about whether we follow Rov B'mama. So when you're saying that there's a machloket, one holds like Shmuel, one holds like Rav, you could say the machlokas, I mean, either it's the Tanakama and Reb Yossi, or the Tanakama and the Omer Lo, the Tanakama, see what's useful to us over here, is the fact that the Omer Lo appeared. That's why we're going through to all this, because if the Omer Lo hadn't appeared, we could always read the Omer Lo into the Tanakhama. But in other words, we wouldn't be able to prove that we have a machloket Tanoim if there's another factor taken into consideration, which is maybe there's a different rov. But now we have three shitot here in the Mishnah. So clearly two of the shitot are following rov, they're only arguing about what rov. Okay, so now what's the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama must be saying that we don't follow the rov at all. Okay, so then we indeed have a machloket Rav and Shmuel. That's fine. So either it's the Tanakama and Reb Yossi, or it's the Tanakama and Omer Lo. All right, let's take a look at this. Tana Rabbanan. Mahu noten lo. What does the refund consist of when you're refunding him for the Zra'im? You refund him the Dmei Zera, but not the Dmei Hotza'ah. So in other words, if he had to hire a tractor, or he had to hire a workman, it cost him a lot of money to do that planting, and nothing grew. So do you pay him his hotza'ot, or do you only just refund the seed? You'll notice that in most guarantees, the guarantees make it careful to state that your maximum is to be able to recover your purchase price, and that the seller is not responsible for any damages that come. Exactly. So, okay, but if you don't have that written beferish at the time of the sale, so what can you recover? So says the Tanakama, Dmei Zera v'lo Hotza'ah, say the Yesh Omrim, even the Hotza'ah. Where do we find a Tana that is the Yesh Omrim, Man Yesh Omrim? Om Rav Chista, it's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, which Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? There was a Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah. Is that what you mean? You know Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Matnitin. The Mishnah says, Amocher perot l'chavero v'zoran v'lo tzamchu, afilu zera pishtan, eno chayav bach rayuntan. Okay, and then Ema Seifa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Zerunei Geina, Sheinan Nechalim, Chayav Bachrayutan. No, that's exactly what the Tanakhama just said. I understand, what's the machlokas over here? You said Zerunei Geina, Zerunei Pishtan, that's because Zerunei Pishtan are edible. So when Reb Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and says, yes, but if it weren't edible, then you get your money back. I just said that. I just said, the only time where you cannot get your money back is where it is edible. So I need you to repeat the implications of my statement. There's got to be a machlokas over here, no? What is that machlokas? Tanakama nami achikama. The Tanakama said exactly the same thing. Note the words of the Tanakama. Zera pishtan, okay? Hudeinu chayav bachrayutan. That's because it's edible. Hazeru negi nasheinu nechalim. But if we were talking about carrot seeds or something like that, so then chayav bachrayutan. So then what's the machloket? I'll tell you what the machloket is. There's only one possible machloket over here. El alav, the machloket is hotza'ah. Indeed, they're holding exactly the same thing in terms of the money back. The question is ancillary damages. Do I only get the money back, or can I sue you for the fact that you wrecked my field, caused me all of this money that I put out to sow a field that never grew or not? So mar savar d'mei zera and only d'mei zera? Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, you're chayav bach rayutan in total. You'll have to pay him for his hotza'ot as well. Are you sure that that's the way to read it? I mean, we could read it the other way around. We could say the implications of the Tanakhama are complete, and Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying only the guarantee on the sea. How do you know to read it that the machloket between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel is? Rav Shimon Gamliel is adding to what the Tanakhama said, only the Zera, and I'm saying even though it's some, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe, he says the Gemara, no, that's not a problem, because we have a klal. Kol Tana Batur L'Tfuye Milta Ka'ati. Wherever you have a Tana that appears after another Tana, he's trying to add something. What's he adding? He's adding the fact that you pay on the Hotza'ot. It's a sort of weird Mishnah, because, I mean, the Mishnah appeared to be a machloket about whether you can get your money back, and now it's about another issue that isn't even mentioned openly in the Mishnah. It's a little bit of a dochek. I mean, if we can find an alternative explanation, wouldn't you go for it? Let me give you an alternative explanation. And you'll see you can't prove from the Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel argues. Maybe the way to read the Mishnah is like this. Dilma kula Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's actually the Mishnah is Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanakhama is Rav Shimon Gamliel. And as often happens in a Mishnah, we introduce a statement to clarify who the author was of the original statement in the Mishnah. So maybe the way to read the Mishnah is basically like this. Now put in the words Divrei Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Sheh. And then get back to the Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Because since Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says Zero Yenegina, She'in Amer Cholin Chayav Bachrayutan, the maximum that we could use as the statement in the Mishnah that you can't get your money back is Zera Pishtan, where it's edible. But beyond that, this is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Shita, you can get it back. Okay, so I don't really see that there's a riot from our Mishnah that we're talking about ancillary damages at all. Why should we put in something that you're plucking out of a hat, basically? Nobody talked about ancillary damages. Elaha Reb Shimon Gamliel. You know where you get to a clear statement by Reb Shimon Gamliel about ancillary damages? It's here. D'tanya, the Braita says, Amolei chitim litchon. You're bringing now chitim into your neighborhood miller shop. And the guy puts them through and he forgets to put them in water. Now, that creates a problem. If he's not litatan, which is why we can't buy flour for Pesach, we can't even keep it in the house, because the norm is that all flour is washed in the grinding process. The reason for that is it makes it possible for the external covering of the wheat to be removed, washed away. So now you get clean, you get a clean wheat. The only way we wouldn't is with a whole wheat. It's all matzah flour, it's whole wheat, by definition. And of course, in those days, whole wheat was considered to be barely edible. I mean, if you're going to bring your chitim to the miller, I mean, you're certainly not going to be able to serve a flour that comes out that is subin or mursin, for that matter.
Animals.
Yeah. I know, but the truth is, I will only eat it. I will only eat it. I wouldn't touch my bread. Yes.
Delicious.
Well, it's the only kind there are. Right. Or like the tefillin that are kuloy or. So anyway, you bring flour into a baker, and he bakes it as pot nipolin. This does not mean Napoleon type of eclair. It means falling and collapsing, which had Napoleon thought of his name, he might have been a little more careful. But
should have known.
That's what I'm saying. You're bringing an animal into the tabach, and he causes it to become a nevela. So in all of these cases, he's chayev, even if it's not a pishia. But it's similar to the case of aveda of a shomer socher, and all of these people being paid have a din of a nosei sakar. Therefore, it's their responsibility. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, no. You haven't even touched the surface, baby. Let me tell you something. If he had ordered that animal for tonight's wedding, and everybody comes to the wedding, and there's nothing to eat, now what? So he sues the guy and is able to get to make boshto, to make boshet orchav. I mean, it's a disaster. Everybody who walked into that wedding is, I mean, it's embarrassing. The whole thing is a disaster. So he has got to pay. You should know, was a minhag gadol hayah b'Yerushalayim. A caterer was defined as responsible for the meal, not just hired to provide the meal. So hamoser su'udah l'chaveiro, or your erstwhile chaver anyway, who's a caterer, the kilkalai messes up the meal, noteno dume boshto dume boshet orchav. That's understood to be what we mean when we hire a caterer. Boy, oh boy.
Wow.
Bankrupt.
There's another great minhag in Yerushalayim that people would put a tablecloth in front of their doorway. So, as long as there's a tablecloth, it's a sign the table is set. And therefore, orchi niklasein, people come in, and they understand that they're being invited. But nistalka hamapa, when the tablecloth is removed, that's when it's not time to come in. And in orchi niklasein, and that is a high-class way of dealing with the knocking on the door for a little bit of meal.
This is a precursor to doormats.
Toshma. Shor shenagach et hapara v'nimtza ubra b'tzida. Ve'eno yadua imat shelo nigach hayalada. O im mi shenigach hayalada. Mishalem chatzi nezek lepara u'revia levlad. V'amai. Lema alecha harov parot v'rov parot medabrot v'yoldot. V'avadai machmat negicha ipila as you should pay chatzi nezek. Even if it would have carried the full term, the and the miscarriage took place before there was any physical contact. Therefore, even according to Rov, whether we go according to the Rov. Shor Jayaro Evan himself Shor Harug Bitsido. Afopish Zemenugach Vizemuadliga. Or Zemenushach Vizemuadli Shoch. In Omrin be a dua Jezenigacho Vizenishacho. Ravacha Amar Gamalo Herben Agimalim. Vinimsa Gamal Harug Bitsido. Be a dua Jezeharago. Now, our initial assumption was that even though here we're talking about a chazaka, not a rov, but Savrua the Ruba of a chazaka Kiadoninu. In which case, it's the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Lemet Rav, the Omer Karabacha, that we follow the Rov and the camel's responsible. And Shmuel, the Omer Tanakama, that we have no information. Omer Lecha Rav, absolutely not. Anu the Omer Afilu Tanakama. At kan lo kama Tanakatam, elo de lo azlinan batar chazaka, batar ruba, azlinan, it's a much larger sample. Ushmuel Omer Lecha, Anu the Omer Afilu Rabacha, on the contrary. Because samples don't mean anything. How do you know that this is part of that part of the sample? So I thought, but a chazaka. Okay, a chazaka is a pattern in a particular organism. So who gufe muhzak? But nobody would say, but a ruba? Ah, lo azlina. Toshma hamocher perot l'chaveiro. V'zar an velot samchu. Afilu zarapishtan eno chayav v'achrayotan. Now look, we're all reading that word afilu the same way. I mean, my afilu, that lav, afilu zera pishtan, which we all understand, is ruba lezriya zavne, nonetheless, lo azlinan bata ruba. Okay, that's clearly Shmuel, not like Rav. True, but it's machloketanoi, Tanya. Amocher perod lakaviron vizar an, velot samchu, zer unegi nash enan echalin, chayav bachrayutan, but zera pishtan, which is nechalin, o chayav bachrayutan. Rebbe Yossi Omer, oh, no ten lo de mezera. Omru lo, what's the rov? Harbe lo kinoto le dvorim achirim. Now, you're saying there's a tanoi. Who exactly did you mean? I hope you don't mean Rebbe Yossi and the Omru lo. I mean, both of those tavayo bata ruba azle. It's just that mar azle bata ruba de inche, umar azle bata ruba de zriya. Ella, it could be the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakam and the Omrulo, but certainly somebody over here does hold of the Rov, because otherwise we don't have three Shitot. Tana Rabbana, Mahu no tenlo, de mezera v'lo hotza'a, v'yesh omrim af hotza'a, man yesh omrim. Om Rav Chista, Rav Shimon Gamliel, which Rav Shimon Gamliel? Yilem Rav Shimon Gamliel, de matnitin, de tana moche perot l'chaverov zaran v'lo tzamchu, afilu zera pishten eno chayev b'achrayuta, na rinan, Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Zeroneginah, She'inan Echalim Chayav Vachrayotan. That's exactly what the Tanakhama just said. Tanakama Nami Ochikamar. He used Zerapishtan specifically because it's Zerapishtan, Udeno Chayav Achrayotan, clearly, because it's edible. Hazirunegina Shinanachal at all, he would agree that you're Chayav Achrayotan. So what nafkamina is there? Now, what else are we going to say? There's a hidden machloket about ancillary damages. Mar Savar, Demezera, and only Demezera. Umar Savar, Rav Shimon Gamliel, even the ancillary damages of the Hotza'a. Mimai. Dilma Ibcha. No, Halokash. I mean, certainly Kotana Batra Litviya Milta Ka'ati. Okay, but this is strange, isn't it? I mean, the better way to read the Mishnah is maybe like this. Dilma Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel, even Chesura Mechasa. Now insert the words. And only such things. Okay, but there is Reb Shimon Gamliel that clearly is mechayev ancillary damages. Or Reb Shimon Gamliel, that must be what Reb Chista meant. Titania. Hamolich hitin litchon velo letatan. And because of that, as Ansubin or Mursan, or he brought Kemach v'Nachtom v'Yafo Pat Nipolin, or a Behimala Tabach v'Nibla Chayav b'Ptei Shulkan Osei Sachar. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, what do you mean Chayav? It's a much worse than that. No, Teno Demei Boshto Demei Boshet Orchav. V'Chein Hayar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Mina Gadol Hayar BeYerushalayim Hamoser Srudal Kaviro V'Kilkela. No teno dmei boshto dmei boshto chav. Od min hagadol haya b'Yerushalayim. Mapa prusa agabe ha-petach. Kol zman shemapa prusa orchin nichnasin. Nistalka ha-mapa, ein orchin nichnasin.